side. You would like to take a booze to your mother at church today, just go up here and just get one and take it to her, and just say that the church is just glad that she is still alive and that you can still have time with her. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And as I said, if there's somebody else, you may have an aunt, you may have a sister-in-law, you may have somebody that is special in your life, you want to honor them today, again, feel free to take a flower. We'd be glad for you to take that to her and just to show your appreciation for them. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for another day. We're grateful for this day that we honor our mothers. We're thankful for godly mothers. We pray, Father, there'll be more women who honor you and raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We know, Father, that life has changed, society has changed, but we know your word never changes. We are grateful for that, and we're grateful for the many, many lessons from your word. Help us, Father, as we do your will, and all things we will be pleasing to you. Bless us in our study this morning, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. The first scripture reading this morning, I'd like us to turn over to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Beginning in verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden, of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree which I commanded thee not, that thou not, that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and of the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, and thus thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And Adam also and his wife that the Lord God made coats of skins and clothed them. Many lessons from many different people in the Bible, but I thought today it would be appropriate to look at the life of Eve and just get some lessons from her. She is the first mother in the world. Eve really means the mother of all living, or the mother of life. And so I think there are good lessons to have. This certainly would apply for Mother's Day, and it'd be appropriate for Mother's Day, but anytime you're studying any character, whether it be a man or woman in the Bible, you can find wonderful lessons and apply them to your everyday life. We do see the story of Eve. She's created from Adam's rib there in Genesis chapter 2. And Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden. Somebody wrote this in regard to Eve's creation. He says, not from his head to be his ruler, or from his feet to be trampled on, but from his side to be his equal, from under his arm to be protected by him, and from near his heart to be loved by him. I don't know if you can say all of that exactly is true to the Bible, because some of those things may not be exactly or precisely true, but we do know that she was to be his partner. She was to be in the garden with him, and there was to be a mutual relationship in the garden. We do know from the reading we just had, she's tempted by Satan, and she is named by Adam at the end of this chapter. And because of their sin, she is driven, and along with Adam, out of the Garden of Eden. She does have children. She has Cain, and she has Abel, and later on she has Seth. And later on in Genesis chapter 4 and chapter 5, it talks about how she had sons and daughters. We don't know how many children she had. She may have had 4, may have had 5, may have had 50. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say how many she had. But she did have more children than just the 3 boys that are mentioned here in Genesis. Well, what are the lessons that we learn from the life of Eve? Well, first of all, the fact of the matter is life is going to involve temptations. You think about this now. There's nobody else around except Adam and Eve. There are no pressures on them. They were to tend to the garden. They were to take care of the garden, but they didn't have to sweat and work hard to do it. Not at this point. They had food to eat. They had the two of them for companionship. They had everything they needed. They had communion with God. They had communion with the animals. They had all these wonderful things that are going on in that particular situation. And in spite of all the blessings that they had, in spite of all the joys and the wonderful things that they had in that particular situation, there still was temptation. And there are times when people say, well, I don't know why we have to face temptation. Well, you just look through the Bible, and you'll find temptation almost every page you turn. David is tempted by Satan. It says in 1 Chronicles 21 that Satan provoked David to number Israel. When you read the book of Job, you know that Job was the one that's behind all the problems and difficulties, that Satan is behind all those things in tempting Job. Also, when you look at Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, Peter says, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And also, a little bit later in the book of Revelation, it says Satan is the one who would deceive the whole world. He wants to lie and wants to cause all the world to have trouble and problems. Even the apostles were tempted. Jesus said to Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. And even Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 faced the temptations from Satan. Temptation is going to be there. Now, the thing is, there will be maybe some special temptations in regard to being a mother. There are times when mothers want the very best for the children. I'm sure Eve, later on, felt that way after she had children. But she wasn't a mother at the time of this temptation. She obviously will face more temptations a little later on. Paul warned about Eve in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "Had the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And the temptations as a mother could be innocent in one way. A mother wants the best for her children. A mother wants her children to enjoy life, and that's fine, there's nothing wrong with it. But there have been times when mothers have put other things before God because wanting their children to get ahead in life or to have better things in life than what she had, it may be causing some sin in that situation. Also, there are times when mothers will not listen to God's word. God's word certainly teaches us to discipline our children, and there have been some mothers who just would not discipline their children, did not feel that it was proper, did not feel it was right. And again, that violation of God's word is, again, causing trouble and problems in the world. You have a situation sometimes when a woman will not honor her husband as the head of her home. We don't know how far Adam was when Eve ate of the fruit. We don't know if it was a half a mile away, or a quarter of a mile, or a few hundred feet. We just don't know. the fact of the matter is, he was still the head of that home. And if she had gone to her husband and said, look, the serpent says, this is really good fruit, we ought to have some of this fruit, she had talked to her husband first, they may not have been given into the temptation on that particular occasion. The fact of the matter is, though, that she did not honor her husband as the head of her home, she violated the will of God, she sinned against God, and then she caused her husband to sin also. So temptations are going to be a part of life. Secondly, we should all be aware of the fact that motherhood is not all blessings. It isn't meant to be all blessings. It is a blessing. It is wonderful. It is just one of the most wonderful things in the world. But there are times when there's going to be sadness. Eve, at the very beginning of the story, has to leave her home. She has to leave a beautiful, wonderful place, the Garden of Eden, and go out into the world. She has now the pain of childbirth. If she had had children before, it seems to be indicating that they would not have been in any pain, but now because of the sin, she must have pain in her childhood and giving birth to her children. It's going to involve some hardships. We know later on in the story, after she has Cain and Abel, that she experiences another hardship in life. Most everybody accepts the idea that we are going to have to bury our parents. They are older than us. They are the generation before us. We know that the time is just limited in everybody's life. And we accept the fact that there's coming a time when we're going to have to say goodbye to our parents. We're going to have to carry them to the silent city of the dead. We're going to have to put them into the ground. We're going to have to put a marker there. And we're just going to have to say goodbye. We hope to see them again in heaven. But the fact of the matter is, it can be very heartbreaking. But some people, like Eve, have had more of a heartbreak. Because some people have had the sad, sad experience of seeing the children die before the parents. And not only was that the case with Eve, but she found her son dead. But she then found out that her other son had killed him. He wasn't killed by an animal. He wasn't killed by a disease. He wasn't killed by something like that. His brother had murdered him. And you think about how hard and terrible that would be. Not only is your child dead, but your other son has taken his life and is responsible for the murder of your child. How horrible and how awful it would be. How horrible to bury a child knowing that your other child was guilty of taking his life. And we need to be aware of the fact that this brings a very important lesson. The fact that sometimes people say, well, you know, I just can't understand it. Here you got two boys that were raised in the same home, that had the same mother, that had the same father, that had the same opportunities. Everything was the same. We try to share everything equal with them. We try not to play favorites with them. But one turns out good, the other turns out evil. How could that possibly be? And then somebody might quote the passage from Proverbs where it says, train up a child the way it should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And they say, you know, you must have made some big mistake, and that's just not the case. Just not the case at all. And sometimes parents have felt terribly guilty and felt awful because they said, I must have done something wrong. Well, maybe, maybe not. But sometimes we forget that the Bible tells us and teaches us that every person has free will. And when people are questioning the fact, well, you got two raised in the same home, one turned out to be very righteous and good, one turned out to be wicked and evil, how could that possibly be? It's simple. They have free will. And when you say, how could it possibly be? They had the same mother and father. They were both taken to church. They're both this and that. They can make their own decisions, and they will make their own decisions. And we need to remember that even though they're raised in the same home, even though they have the same mother and father, even though they had the same opportunities, they're still two different people. And just because one is good does not mean that the other one is going to be good. We hope that they will be good. We hope they both are. There have been times when people have had four or five children. They said, well, four of my children were good, but that last one, boy, he was a real rotten one. He was terrible. How could that possibly be? I raised four of them. They did fine. But that last one, they just couldn't get anything food for him. He's an individual, and he can make the choices, and he does make the choices. And that's what happened with the situation with Eve as well. Then one more lesson we learned from Eve's life. That is the fact that there is always hope. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have gotten a child. And she was able to have another child after Abel died. She had Seth. Then later on, it says she had sons and daughters. God gave her that child. She said, God has given me another son. And the fact of the matter is, it tells you the fact that no matter how bleak it might be, no matter how bad it might be, no matter what may happen, even in a situation where we've had transgressions, even when we've transgressed God's will, there is still hope. Sometimes people say, well, there's no hope for me. That's not true. There's hope for you if you will accept Christ. If you will just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will accept him as the Lord of your life, if you will surrender your heart and life to him, repent of your sins, be immersed for the remission of your sins, walk in the light and do his will, there is great hope for you. Nobody's beyond hope if we will just obey the gospel. Eve shows us that. That she can go beyond the sin of her own life, losing their home, having her children in pain, seeing one child murder the other one, that there's still hope. And she was able to have sons and daughters. Milton, in his great work, Paradise Lost, called Eve the queen of the universe, the fairest of the fair. And I hope all of us will remember that life will involve temptations, motherhood will involve temptations, and sometimes sorrows. But with God, there is always hope. Let us all try to remember that Eve went on after her sin. So no matter what our sin is, if we repent, we can go on and we can be faithful to God, and we can hear the words one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Now we're going to sing the invitation song. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to come forward this morning, put Christ on the waters of baptism. If as a child of God, you need to rededicate your life on to that this morning, whatever your needs might be, we invite you to come. We encourage you to come. Let us stand. Let us sing.